on water and environment.
Public hearing.
And we will open a public hearing first on SCR 14. Kara, would you give us a preview?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is a memorial for Danny Blumenthal, who was an Oregon State Park Ranger that was killed on April 27th. And it's a hot sun, Senator Duke.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. Yes, this is a unanimous Senate vote. Your staff has explained this is a memorial resolution for Danny Blumenthal, Danny being the state park ranger who was murdered. The only state park ranger in the history of Oregon who has ever been murdered. And I hope you, at some point between now and the floor, take a couple of minutes and read the resolution. It puts a person to the name that we've all seen in the headlines. And you have to live, and some of you do, in a small rural community to understand how those communities bond together and how you become a part of that community. And Danny did that. He overcame a lot in his life, which shows you the kind of courage he had as an individual. And he gave to that community. He gave to the individual people, and he was a part, right? He was a part of that team for the state parks, and he gave the same kind of caring to those parks that he did to the rest of his community. I can tell you that it's a real loss for the Cannon Beach, Wheeler, Manzanita area around there. And it's fitting that we courage and his bravery and what he gave to Oregon.
You have anything further, Irene?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, but no, just to concur with everything that Senator Duke said.
Excuse me, that's impossible.
Excuse
me. The first name. Apologize for that. Thank you, Senator Duke. Questions from the committee? So we'll give Representative Taylor a quick minute here if she wants to.
I recognize.
Mr. Chair, it's nice for you to come over here once in a while just to see my face. Yeah.
We are on SCR 14. Any other comments of the committee? Thank you for bringing this. It looks like we just about got everybody to sign on. I think
it's unanimous.
No problem. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jim Lockwood?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jim Lockwood, Government Relations Manager, Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. I think I'm here more to thank you all and to thank the other members of the body. Most people think of state parks as neat scenic areas or cultural resources, and for a lot of us in parks, it's also our employees. They are part of the state park. And to some extent, an invisible park, but when we lose a piece of our broader park system, it's a real pain for us, and we appreciate this acknowledgement of the service and the value of our employees by this body. So that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Questions? Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
I close the hearing on SCR 14. I'll open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 14.
Yes.
That's approved.
I move SCR 14 to the floor to do pass recommendation.
That's approved. Move SCR 14 to the floor to do pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Just to say, Mr. Chair, that this was a true tragedy, not only for the family, but also for the state of Oregon to have something like this happen. And I think it's very appropriate that we send the regards of the state out in this matter.
Yeah. Hearing none. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye. Having required number of votes, SPR 14 has closed the due pass recommendation. Representative Hopton, would you like to carry? Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Hopton will carry. We close the work session on SPR 14. And okay, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1184. I think we have the B4 amendments. We'll bring those forward.
Most bills only get work that shorter. This one's kind of gone the other way.
I have a jackpot number to it.
Mr. Chairman,
what's this relating clause?
Relating clause.
This one's something else. Members of the committee, John Chandler, Director of Criminal Affairs of the Oregon Building Industry Association, here on behalf of the unofficial pretty darn close amendments to being gross. After our discussion yesterday, several of us went off, worked with us council, and then a couple of us got together after that. And the difficulty we were having with this bill, and I very much appreciate the committee's indulgence, because we do have now a significant improvement that accomplishes both the intentions of what we brought forth our amendments in the first place, but also a revision to the law that we're going to make it work better generally. What we found was that the definition of moratorium defined itself. It defined a moratorium as a moratorium, which wasn't particularly useful when you're trying to be a little more precise about its application. What we've done with the proposed conceptual amendment, if you look at the printed bill, the being gross version, essentially what we've done is delete the definition of a moratorium and replace it in Section 3 of the proposed amendment with the same language reworked to say that when a jurisdiction engages in a pattern of practice, et cetera, and so forth, as we spent out here, then what they need to do is either declare a moratorium or a public facility strategy. That was what we were trying to get to in the first place, and we were unable to get there because of the way the original law was written. This change keeps everything that was in the original moratorium law, but changes it in such a way that it actually can be used both to get to the declaration of moratorium, if that's what's necessary, and to the adoption of a public facility strategy, if that's where the jurisdiction chooses to go. I'm thrilled that the format is somewhat unusual. This is, I think, a significant improvement both in the bill and in the current law, and I believe I'm joined in that opinion by the local government folks that worked on this, the little puppy with us. Section 4 of the proposed, not quite official, amendment is the same as Section 3 on the dash 4s.
Oh, okay.
Except for what are with the changes we talked about yesterday, basically?
Yes. The sticking point from yesterday's conversation off of the dash 3s was the section...
Section 4.
Right.
Which is now...
Which I'm now, I reworked to begin Section 3 of the proposed bill. So the section...
Section 4...
Well, we're going to get those tangled up in a hurry. We answered the questions that people posed. The sections have gotten reordered, but the language, with the exception of reworking them, as I said about the definition of moratorium, is the same. And the language in Section 4 of the proposed amendment is just a cut and paste, literally, done with the figures and tape moments ago.
Sure, so, you know, this is educational for me because I didn't know if you have problems with the ability to switch sections and the problems go away. I appreciate that. So.
Doesn't work all the time.
Pretty darn close.
Pretty darn close.
Pretty darn close.
Mr. Chair, yes.
Yes,
thank you. I have
trouble knowing what a pattern or practice of delaying or stopping issuance of permits is.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Taylor, full address us, not being facetious. There is that the current language of the statute is pattern and practice. The same language is used elsewhere in enforcement order proceedings throughout the D.C. And there isn't a definition.
It's in current statute.
It's in current statute. And we were having enough fun as it was about trying to redefine the current one.
Other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, Chris Crane and Zach from Ledge Council to give the committee an opinion as to whether or not they'd be happy if you'd adopt the unofficial but pretty darn close proposed amendment you're supposed to. And that'll be real B amendment, so.
Chris, if you have a chance to see unofficial but pretty darn amendments here.
Do you have anything to do with these unofficial
but pretty darn amendments? You never have ever
been. I know that you guys are busy. Something else.
Representative Welsh, members of committee, for the record, Chris Crane, Legislative Council. I did speak with I worked with a number of folks for a significant period of time yesterday afternoon coming up with a dash for the B4 amendments. John retained the language from section 4 of that and reworked section 3 from that and then reworked section 4. And I looked at that this morning, had a conversation with John, went over the language. It seems fine to me. There are no legal problems with it that I can see in a quick reading.
So we can assume that we'll move in with an official amendment.
Chair Welsh, I would have no trouble drafting this conceptual amendment as a formal amendment.
Mr. Honeycutt, will you identify yourself, too? For the record, I think you
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Dave Honeycutt, Oregon. Section 3 was my part of the bill, which is now Section 4, which bill everybody likes, I guess.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, one more statement for the record on behalf of Clackamas County, and Eric Lobbies is here, if you want to come up, so we can. They were very active in reworking the bill and quite concerned about the language we were using. They have a number of ordinance provisions in their comprehensive plan and land use regulations dealing with adequacy of facilities. The moratorium law uses shortage. And if I can anticipate a question, I'm not sure the difference between shortage and adequacy, but I will say for the record that what a moratorium is designed to address is those situations where the sewer system plant does not have enough capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It is not designed to address those situations where the sewer lines aren't in the right place. And this bill is in no way intended, and I don't believe does, give any authority or right for litigants to go in and say, it's now a moratorium because you're making me hook up to a sewer line, or because you want me to extend the line someplace where it currently is not. That was not the intention, and I don't believe that does. No. There you go.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Deidre Smith. I'm the Government Relations Director for Clackamas County. And what I'm providing you with is a letter because it basically recaps the types of concerns that the county had when we looked at the original moratorium language. I think that we have worked in good faith with Mr. Chandler. I wanted you to see specifically that I've quoted some language that comes out of our current comprehensive plan, our conditional use requirements. Those are the types of ordinance language that you find in Clackamas County and probably many other cities and counties throughout the state. And I think that we probably arrive now with the pretty darn close amendments to something that ensures or assures local government that those types of ordinance requirements, if they are really founded in the comprehensive planning conditions, are not involved in the change and not affected by the change that is being made on the moratorium statute. This is, and I really do appreciate the indulgence of this committee because this is an area that if it is not clear, it is a day-to-day judgment that's made in every city or county affecting property ownership and government regulation. So I think we've come pretty close or about as close as we possibly can to making this clear to ourselves and to the committee about the extent of the language change in the moratorium statute.
Questions from the committee?
If
Let's conclude the opposition at all.
Pardon me, pardon?
Any opposition to the bill?
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
Whatever about.
Yes, sir. Pretty darn close.
No.
Mr. Schlag, did you want to do testimony on this? Okay, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, we are in work session. Mr. Cruz.
I move conceptual amendments to Senate Bill, conceptual amendments known as the unofficial but pretty darn close amendments to Senate Bill 1154.
Rick Cruz moves conceptual, unofficial but pretty darn close proposed amendments to the engrossed Senate Bill 1184. Do we have any further discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, so move. Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1184 as conceptually amended to the floor to be passed recommendation.
Director Cruz moves Senate Bill 1184 as conceptually amended to the floor to do pass recommendation. And we will get the official bill. Any further discussion?
I don't know. I think
we should
come back again.
The
third time we're
bringing
back. Mr. Chair, say that it could happen anyway. Conflict and then for something.
The fact that Representative Merkley is chairing it is giving me a lot of comfort on this show.
Mr. Chair, I think it'd be very interesting to take a bill labeled D, E, or F to the floor, and maybe we shouldn't stop at this point.
I mean, that's not happening. All right.
This is not worth getting into something bad again.
Mr. Clerk, please call the room.
Aye.
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 Aye. And the required number of votes? Senate Bill 1184. And I can't say which is version, but it will be C. We'll pass the floor to pass recommendation, and Representative Merkley is our chair. Okay.
Good luck, Jeff.
And we close the work session on Senate Bill 1184. We open a work session on Senate Bill 778. Okay, we've got some amendments here, see, that you want to tell us a little bit about those, Harrison, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair, May 6th allows the director to restrict the participation of employees in programs of the department in order to make those programs fair and equitable and to avoid having department employees gain an advantage over members of the public.
All right. And those who were involved in this, Mr. Berry, would you like to come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Jim Greer, Director of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. With me today is Rudy Westerband with the Department of Justice. I think we've already commented essentially on the merits of Senate Bill 778 in its original form, and we're very comfortable with that. I think the issues that have been brought forward to you in the last couple of days have really revolved around the issue of public trust and that trust that our employees broke, essentially. I would like to say to all of you that if there is a belief or feeling that their actions may have caused you or other members of the public some form of negative repercussion, I'd apologize to you for them. I think it's important for our employees to at least have standards of the rest of state government employees, and that's something that I'm trying to do through this bill to make sure that we have accountability within the agency. This amendment that you have before you is really more of an attempt to clarify or make specific an internal policy that we have available to us right now. But I think this really sends a very strong message that where we find within our agency areas where employees may have even perceived or real advantage over the public, as those are identified, that allows me the opportunity or the director after me to remove those employees from those activities. I think we probably will see a number of these, and I believe the task force that I have initiated that will be reviewing primarily the controlled hunts program, but we can expand that to look at anything that we might see very similar kinds of activities relative to raffles or drawings of some kind where we see employees in a position of potential gain. That should be identified also by that task force, and that would come to me as well as the commission for further action. So that's what this particular amendment tries to get to. I think Mr. Westerman might be able to give you a little bit more background on the original amendments that we talked about yesterday and then how this may fold into that to help address some of those issues.
Mr. Westerman.
Thank you. I'm the attorney in charge of the Labor and Employment Section, General Counsel Division. Been working with Mr. Greer and administration of the agency ever since the inception of this problem. The initial proposal is an excerpt from the existing policies of the Wildlife Division. Both policies, in my view, are excellent policies. They were enforced in this case. I would like to see other agencies of the state government have policies that are similar to this, which are broader than the ethics law. I hope you have the opportunity to take a look at that policy from beginning to end. It's really a good piece of work. That policy can be enforced and has been enforced in this case. I'm just here to provide any assistance that he may have or that the director may have by responding to any questions, essentially.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
That's increased. Mr. Chair, my comfort level with it's certainly higher. I guess my problem still is there's nothing here that ensures, and I'm not saying this will be task force work, and just for the record, the amount of time from the account of this incident to the youth had knowledge of it, and there was certainly a disconnect in chain of command here, and you know, there's no way for you to deal with something you don't know about. So I'm hoping that through your task force, you will be able to sort of define chain of command activity so any potential problem becomes immediately to your knowledge.
Thank you, Representative Cruz. I appreciate those comments. I think this has been a learning experience for everyone where even though I do expect my employees to make decisions, in fact, what we've tried to do through this bill and discussions with Representative Nesley is get as many decisions as we can to the lowest part of our organization so we don't have to go through that bureaucratic red tape. But when it comes to issues of significance like this one was, there's a greater appreciation for how that has to come through the whole organizational review.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan.
Just to build on Representative Cruz's comments, I think that clearly we have two issues here that are quite separate, and one of them is it centers around employees of the department using knowledge in ways that may not be the most ethical. I mean, apparently they are not illegal, but I think there are ethical issues at stake here. The other issue very clearly is communications within the agency. And I know that you and I have talked privately about the second issue at some length. And I think it would be a mistake to think that all we're discussing here is the use of inside information, because equally important and equally as distressing is the degree of communication that didn't take place in this particular instance. And I would certainly hope that that we would learn a lot from this in both of these areas.
Mr. Chair, would you like me to respond?
Yes.
Representative Morgan, I have had some rather in-depth discussions about that. I think it gets back to what Representative Cruz said also, where there's a disconnect in the communication link on these particular issues. In terms of learning about this one, I don't know that there are 15 employees that were actually identified as having their names on this particular list. There isn't one of them that hasn't talked to me about how this has not only, in their mind, hurt the agency, but hurt the employees as a whole. And had they had more opportunity to think about, or took more time to think about the magnitude of this particular issue, they would have ratcheted up through the chain of command. And several of them, since this was more or less an after-the-fact occurrence by the time I heard of it, many of them have expressed their apologies and frankly have really been publicly humiliated over this issue and have expressed to me their concern for making sure that I am aware of these in the future. This has been a tremendous learning experience, not just for those that were involved, but I think for the whole agency.
Well, I know I'm real interested in certainly what you and I have talked about, Director, and I do absolutely accept your apology, and I appreciate that. And I want to close a chapter here with this bill and this committee, and I hope that you can relay here to our state here, maybe with what has occurred here and a little bit about, of course, what had occurred within the district or within the department and what did occur, just to put a final chapter here so that we have an opportunity to build that credibility back for the department. I think our constituency, our state would appreciate that. And I appreciate it, and I think it's appropriate coming from you. I don't want to do it. I think you've come before us, and it's not easy. I understand that. But I think very helpful if that could occur. And I think then people would, around the state, be very willing to close the chapter and rebuild and hope that our accountability, our credibility builds within the department, because we need it. I think we can. And so I just want to close it there and move forward.
Thank you.
Okay. We are in a work session. Let's just stand at
ease here. If we're in work session, Mr. Chair, could I ask a question relating to the Dash A6s? Considering that this is currently part of the department's policy, which I assume was adopted by RULA, does putting it in statute give it any additional force or weight?
Well, there is no written policy at present which incorporates or mirrors this language. My comments pertain to the original piece of legislation that we were considering. That's off the table at this point, and I think it's appropriately off the table from a legal standpoint. We think it's important to have this expressly stated in the law, so that there's no question from anyone about the authority of the executive director to protect the public from employee or even the appearance of employee wrongdoing by limiting and restricting. So this is a really good piece of legislation for that purpose.
Mr. Chair?
Mr.
Kapoor.
I would move the Dash A6 Amendment to Senate Bill 778.
Representative Kapoor moves the Dash A6 Amendment to Senate Bill 778. Any further discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, so moved.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kapoor.
I move Senate Bill 778 to the floor as amended to the floor of the Duke House Recommendation.
Representative Kapoor moves Senate Bill 778 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Crean?
Aye.
Aye.
Kapoor?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Having required a number of votes, Bill 778 has amended. Passed 4, 2 pass recommendations. Who would like to chair? Representative Kafori will be our chair.
Yeah, I'm going to chair as well.
Thank you very much. Okay, we close our work session. We're going to go 778.
Yeah, this is Cruz. There's another representative Kafori. We may have questions.
We open a work session on 2012-66. We adopted the A4 written. No. Anyone in the audience want to give testimony on self-sustainability further? Sure, wouldn't give a chance for people to talk about it.
Okay.
You were. We're in this session here in Senate Bill 1267.
Have we adopted the A4s for this already?
Yes, we did. We adopted the A4s for this.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we did.
Mr. Chair, if I might ask a question, I noted that you were going to talk to the opponents, and the governor's office.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping we had the. I'm not going to move this case because I know they had promised me to get back to me, and I have not heard yet. And in my file, there isn't on anything either. So let's just close. I'm going to close the work session.
Mr. Chair, Bill
1267. Yes,
I'd also like to note that during the first hearing, the proponents promised to answer several questions that I asked. And I haven't received.
You haven't got anything on that yet either?
Okay.
Mr.
Does that have to do with John McCulley's representation that workers prefer working under the H2A program?
I don't believe that was my question. One of my questions was in regard to whether contractors or farmers will charge for housing, charging individuals for housing, and how much they can charge, because that's been a problem in the H2A program in the past.
I thought probably members, I should point out that in the packet you received, we have a document from John McCulley on page 7, I believe, of that document. Let's try page 9 of that document. I know he made representations that Mexican workers under this program had been surveyed about their participation, and so he did provide this document for backup. Was it for page 9?
Okay. There may be two
page 9. I'm just remembering things a little strange here. It would be your first page 9. But this document suggests that workers do express a strong preference for working under an H2A-like contract rather than being an unauthorized status, and that workers report that they value the security provided by the contract. So he had provided that information just to support the statement he made.
Harrison, I think that's page. Up top.
Page 9,
and it's at the bottom. It's page 7. Oh, merger.
I would make it page 16.
Or page 8.
Okay. And yes, I had talked to Mr. McCulley, and they were going to get some comments back, and they're not being here.
Do they have any further business?
Okay. So we'll adjourn.
No, I'm planning an editorial.